Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tetragon Investor Call. All lines will be in listen-only mode throughout the whole conference. If anyone should require assistance during the call, press the star, then zero on your telephones. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to today's chairperson, Michael Rosenberg. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
Hello. As one of the principals and the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome you to our investor call, which will focus on Q4 2011 and full year results and provide an update on business progress to date. The format of today's call will be similar to prior calls, except for I'm going to handle typically Dave Wishnow's section of the call. Dave will be back with us in next quarter's call. Phil Bland, our CFO, will present Tetragon's Q4 2011 and full year results. I will provide a quick overview on our investment portfolio and key performance metrics and asset management businesses, and Jeff Herlin will provide CLO market color. To aid our investors, we will address questions that we have received in the applicable portions of this call rather than solely at the end. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance or financial condition on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. Let me now turn the call over to Phil.
Thanks very much, Mike, and can I have my own welcome to the call. You'll have seen that we published TFG's Q4 2011 results at the end of January and released our annual report earlier this week. From a corporate-wide perspective, despite the backdrop of what were often mixed and challenging market conditions, we're pleased that we're able to deliver another set of strong results, reflecting in what we consider to be three of the key financial metrics for TFG's overall business. That's earnings per share, NAV per share, and distributions. Firstly, let's consider earnings per share. This was up 10% year-on-year to $3.46. As you'll have seen on the EPS attribution table on page 15 of the annual report, it's clear that the main driver of our top-line earnings continues to be the CLO portfolio. And throughout the previous quarters, we've talked a lot about the strength in particular of the US CLOs and the factors behind this strength, such as ongoing low defaults, and in some cases the benefits of LIBOR floors. One side of this strength was that in 2011, the weighted average IRR on our portfolio rose to 17.6%, up from 15.1% in 2010, and the US deals were getting close to 20% on a weighted average basis. As we've covered on previous calls in our reports on several occasions, the fair value of the CLO portfolio is determined by modeling future cash flows and then discounting them using discount rates that we feel reflect a market participant's view of the riskiness of those cash flows. Despite the strong cash receipts in 2011, the fair value of the portfolio continued to increase year on year as expected future cash flows continued to rise and the perceived riskiness around the US CLO cash flows abated early in 2011, and the applicable discount rates were reduced. In Q4 2011, we further revised certain forward-looking modeling assumptions on the US CLOs to reflect, among other things, their strong performance and some positive observable data about the future. On a more negative note, we also recognized an observable increase in riskiness around Euro CLO deals. And we expressed that by increasing the Euro discount rate to 30%. Another noteworthy development in 2011 was the growing contribution of management fee income, in particular from LCM, our loan manager. This grew 40% year on year as LCM continued to add new CLO deals, and we will continue to seek to further grow the contribution from asset management fees from both LCM and Green Oak, and over time, potentially other asset management activities. Despite LCM's considerable AUM now and its profitability, it's fully consolidated, and on TFG's balance sheet, we only show a carrying value of just $100,000 or so. Other ongoing fee income from corporate actions among our managers also grew significantly to over $6 million in the year, and Mike's going to review the asset management businesses in a bit more detail later on in the call. Turning now briefly to costs, it's worth mentioning that although costs have scaled up as a percentage of income, they remain below 30% of gross income, and that's basically close to the same percentage that we saw in 2010. The EPS generated in 2010 and 2011 reflected, we would say, primarily the recovery in CLO equity as TFG successfully weathered the financial crisis. And consequently, those may be reviewed or viewed as exceptional years. We currently expect EPS in 2012 to revert to more normal levels. That said, there are still several potential positive drivers for future EPS. And those include, firstly, the impact of new CLO deals being added throughout the year. Secondly, if our US CLO deals continue to outperform against our modeled assumptions, as they have done. Thirdly, there's potential for the recovery of our Euro deals in the event that the Eurozone crisis is resolved. Fourthly, further diversification of our assets and our cash into other high-yielding asset classes, including CLO MES and real estate. And fifthly, growing returns from the company's asset management activities. Turning from EPS now to the second important metric, let's look at our NAV per share. And that increased 34% year-on-year to $12.71, primarily as a result of the strong earnings performance. And at the end of 2011, it was around 96% above the level that it had been at the end of 2009. As you'll see from the net asset breakdown chart in our shareholders letter in the annual report, the NAV growth has been achieved without making significant alteration to the split of the investment assets to date. Although we've now started to add some real estate investments, and with the commitments made with respect to GreenOak's US and Japan vehicles, we'd expect to see this start to scale up steadily during 2012. Cash balances had increased certainly as a percentage of net assets at the end of 2011 versus 2010. However, so far in 2012, we've already put $43 million of that cash to work with investments in two new primary issue CLOs, as well as our first investment in a CLO MES tranche. So some of that movement is really related to timing. Finally, the third metric I'd like to cover is distributions, and I'd like to start with dividends. The board continues to believe that the dividend is an important consideration for investors. And following another strong quarter's results, TFG's Q4 dividend was increased from 10 to 10.5 cents per share, so that's 5% above the Q3 dividend, which left the total 2011 dividend at 39.5 cents per share, representing an increase of 27% over 2010 and the continuation of the steady increase over the last couple of years. In addition to the dividend, we continued our share buyback program, through which we were able to return nearly $35 million to shareholders during 2011. To the end of the year, we'd repurchased a little over 16 million shares at an average price of $5.09, so that's around $82 million. The board continues to believe that the share buyback program, given TFG's stock historic and current discount to NAV, is an appropriate use of some of TFG's liquidity, as it both enhances NAV per share and supports the liquidity of the stock. Even though the buyback program is limited by applicable regulations, we believe it remains a useful tool to add value to shareholders. While I'm covering the topic of share buybacks, we received a couple of questions about the treatment of bought back shares, which are now held either in Treasury or by a subsidiary of TFG. Once bought back shares are moved into one of those two places, they're no longer included in the shares outstanding for accounting purposes, so they become ineligible to receive dividends, and they're no longer counted in the NAV per share calculation in the company's reports, so they have no carrying value. Hopefully that cleared up the questions that were on the on that topic. So having reviewed TFG's overall performance in terms of EPS growth, NAV per share, and distributions, I'll now pass you back to Mike for a more in-depth look at TFG's investment portfolio and asset management business segments.
Great, thanks, Phil. I'd like to now quickly run you through the investment portfolio and some key performance metrics and TFG's asset management businesses. During Q4 2011, we invested approximately $14.5 million in a majority equity tranche of a new issue CLO managed by a third-party investment manager already represented within TFG's existing CLO portfolio. During the course of Q4 2011, we also made a secondary add-on purchase of approximately $1.9 million of an equity tranche of an existing TFG US CLO. With these additional investments made during the fourth quarter, the CLO equity portfolio increased to 77 transactions, up from 75 at the end of Q3 2011, while the number of external CLO managers remained unchanged at 27. Also of note is TFG's push to further diversify the investment portfolio beyond CLO equity. Approximately $1.1 million was purchased in a mezzanine debt tranche of a U.S. CLO already represented within TFG's equity portfolio. While we see opportunities in mezzanine debt tranches where TFG controls the optional call rights, the actual amount of mezz debt available in the market on these deals can be limited. We will continue to be opportunistic. Currently expected returns on double B-rated mezzanine debt tranches ranges from LIBOR plus 1,000 basis points and higher. TFG also increased its holdings of real estate assets managed by Green Oak. Through the end of 2011, TFG held approximately $2.4 million of equity in commercial real estate assets in Japan and the United States, and have commitments to make further substantial investments during 2012. TFG was also able to realize $6.7 million in additional value during 2011 in connection with certain corporate actions involving our CLO managers, leveraging its ownership positions via long-term fee-sharing arrangements. We expect fees earned from CLO corporate actions to be a recurring item. As of the end of Q4 2011, the estimated total fair value of TFG's CLO investment portfolio was approximately $1.147 billion, consisting of $1.024 billion of U.S. investments, and $123.4 million of European investments. The aggregate is up approximately is up from $1.139 billion as the end of Q3. On a look-through basis, this represents exposure to leveraged loans through our CLO investments of approximately $18.4 billion par value spread over approximately 1,600 corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the balance being European. Additionally, as of year-end, TFG's direct holdings of liquid U.S. bank loans stood at an aggregate par amount of approximately $111 million and a total fair value of approximately $107 million. The underlying business performed well during Q4, with the loan portfolio trading up to approximately 96% of par from an average price of 94% of par. No defaults were registered during the period. For the quarter, there were net realized gains of approximately $300,000, bringing the year-to-date net realized gains to approximately $900,000. In addition, the portfolio earned $1.5 million of interest income and discount premium during Q4, bringing full year 2011's total to $5.8 million. As we've done in Q4, we expect to continue to selectively deploy capital into direct loans when appropriate and leverage the expertise of the LCM team in this regard when possible. We particularly like the liquid nature of these investments when coupled with their in-house expertise and expected returns. With respect to the CLO and loan portfolio composition, approximately 75% of the risk capital is invested in U.S. broadly syndicated loans, 10% in European loans, and 15% in U.S. middle market loans. TFG had no direct credit hedges in place at the end of 2011, but employed certain FX and tail risk rate hedges to seek to mitigate both Euro FX exposure and a potential spike in inflation and/or nominal interest rates. In the future, our hedging strategy may include the use of single name or index credit hedges as well. We review our hedging strategy on an ongoing basis as we seek to address identified risks. I'd like to now update you on some key performance metrics that we remain focused on in our CLOs. TFG's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate, which includes both European and U.S. CLO investments, continued to decrease, falling to 0.4% annualized at the end of Q4 from 0.6% annualized at the end of Q3. The default breakdown by geography showed TFG's U.S. CLO equity investments registering a 0.3% default rate, while European CLO equity investments had a 1% default rate. By comparison, the 12-month lagging institutional U.S.-only loan default rate fell to 0.2% as reported by S&P. At the end of Q4 2011, 97% of TFG's CLO investments were passing their most junior OC tests, weighted by fair value. When measured on a percentage of transaction basis, 64 deals, or 94% of the company's CLO investments, were passing their most junior OC test. TFG's U.S. CLOs, representing over 89% of the overall fair value through Q4, continue to perform well, with 100%, both by fair value and number of transactions, passing their most junior OC tests. In comparison, the market-wide average of U.S. CLOs estimated to be passing their most junior OC test at quarter end was approximately 94%. At the end of Q4, the weighted average percentage of corporate obligors rated CCC remained steady at 7%. For TFG's U.S. CLO equity investments, the weighted average percentage of CCC assets was 5.5% versus a market-wide average of 7.7%. Also of note, TFG's WAR, for weighted average rating factor, is slightly higher at 2,624 versus 2,614 at the end of Q3. Now I'd like to provide an update on our asset management businesses. We feel that TFG owning or having stakes in asset management businesses may provide repeatable, diversified, fee-based revenue streams while reducing fees paid to third-party managers. Over time, we feel this strategy may help the company develop into a more broadly diversified financial services firm. We believe that doing so will strengthen TFG's income streams and create long-term value for TFG shareholders. As Phil previously noted, LCM, our loan management business, operating results and financial performance remained strong throughout 2011, with all senior and subordinated CLO management fees on LCM cash flow CLOs current as of year-end. LCM's AUM grew by nearly 15%, ending 2011 at $3.4 billion. Looking forward, we expect to continue to grow the LCM business via primary CLO issuance, managed accounts, and CLO manager consolidation, as well as other strategic opportunities. With respect to Green Oak, they continued to build its real estate investment management and advisory business across North America, Europe, and Asia. We believe that by March month end, AUM will have grown to approximately $1.75 billion. During 2011 and early 2012, Green Oak achieved a number of key milestones. They had first closings for both their U.S. and Japanese real estate funds, and closed on transactions in both countries. Green Oak also secured a significant number of high-quality advisory engagements with clients in Europe and the United States. With that, I'd let me now hand it over to Jeff to provide some color on the present loan and CLO market conditions.
Thanks, Mike. We believe there are several factors that may influence the majority of TFG's CLO portfolio in the near term. Among these factors are the global economy, supply and demand for bank loans, and the new issue CLO market. Most indicators point to an improving U.S. economy, albeit slowly. This mild growth has generally allowed U.S. corporations to effectively manage their businesses in a manner that has improved the strength of their balance sheets. This, we believe, should contain corporate default rates at a level that is consistent with or below average historical rates over the near term. The European economy, by contrast, is a more challenging environment with the well-publicized sovereign and banking issues currently being dealt with. These issues, in our view, are likely to have a negative impact on European corporations and could potentially increase the rate of corporate credit downgrades and corporate defaults in the near term until the economic situation in Europe stabilizes. Both the U.S. and European bank loan market is currently experiencing new issue pricing levels that produce spreads that are wider than historical average levels. These wider spread levels may help, in part, to insulate our legacy CLO equity investments that had secured attractive liability pricing years ago and may help to offset any negative impact of higher than projected losses on these CLO assets. We believe that the influences of lower bank loan demand from institutional buyers and the proposed banking regulation changes in the amount of capital required to be held against bank loans may keep bank loan spreads wider than average historical levels over the near term. Thus, if current conditions prevail over the near term, we would expect our U.S. CLO equity portfolio, which makes up 89% of our CLO portfolio, to continue to outperform, while our European CLO equity portfolio, which makes up 11% of our CLOs, to underperform its U.S. peer. The new issue CLO market has expanded significantly, potentially affording TFG with a wider array of opportunities for both issuing new LCM CLOs and for investing in third-party managed CLOs. Most of the large global banks have committed additional resources to their CLO teams, and a visible new deal pipeline at these institutions has grown considerably. CLO liability pricing has continued its tightening trend as the demand for CLO liabilities has broadened, which is now in some cases producing an attractive CLO arbitrage of approximately LIBOR plus 11 to 1200 basis points. We believe that the expanding universe of participants in the CLO space, both investors and bankers, is in part attributable to the historical performance of CLOs as they have proven resilient and performed as advertised over the long term. These factors have combined to support more new issue CLO activity, which we believe will continue near term and produce approximately $15 to $20 billion of new issuance in 2012, nearly twice the amount issued last year. The increased participation by large banks and the technical conditions for loans is a healthy combination that increases competition among CLO bankers and increases investor participation across the CLO liability spectrum, all potential positives for TFG's activity in the CLO investing arena. We'd now like to turn to some of the questions that we received from investors in advance of the call, which have not already been addressed. Before doing so, we'd like to reiterate that we greatly value communication with the company shareholders and strive to make ourselves available to answer questions to the extent we are able outside of these update calls. We received a question on the format of our investor calls, and we're glad to have the opportunity to explain our approach. We have asked that interested individuals submit questions that we could potentially cover on these update calls. Based on our view, only a limited number of persons have historically submitted questions, and we have sought to answer those questions either in this format or in conversations with those persons where appropriate. Generally, the questions have essentially come from very few persons, and a number of the questions overlapped. We have typically paraphrased or combined questions for purposes of these calls as we sought to provide information that would be of interest to all call participants and shareholders. To the extent that questions related to information discussed on previous quarterly calls or contained in public disclosures that are current, we generally do not reiterate that information on these calls. Where appropriate, we may also discuss specific questions directly with relevant investors, although we note that we are not able to necessarily address every matter raised. We have received some questions on recent regulatory developments in the United States regarding investment advisor registration with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. As you will have read in the annual report, recently the investment manager filed the relevant materials with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to become registered as an investment advisor under the U.S. Investment Advisors Act of 1940. We will update investors once this registration is effective. We also received a question on the previously reported derivative action in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. As we recently reported, last month, Judge Rakoff rendered his decision agreeing with defendants that the purported shareholder who brought the lawsuit failed to satisfy basic pleading requirements of derivative actions. The court ordered the case dismissed in its entirety with prejudice. With that, we'd like to thank everybody for joining the call. As always, feel free and do not hesitate to contact us with further questions. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks for joining.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect the lines. Thank you, and good afternoon. Gentlemen, thank you for your participation today.